Enterprise's Sunday Best. Call now, 0151 708 1059. Radio City Talk.
Carmel. Hello, Carmel.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. So what can we do for you tonight? You want to talk about the trains?
Yeah, well, I just want to talk about the overcrowding on the trains, which I think people have been experiencing quite badly. You yourself, I think, had a bad journey to Manchester.
I did indeed. Just talking about it before. Horrendous. Oh, sorry, the one to Manchester was ridiculous. You don't get a seat. You stand up. The heat is unbearable. Then I went to London, and on that train, the air conditioning broke down, and 68 seats couldn't be used. Because if they'd have put a dog in that carriage, somebody would have broken the window to take the dog out for the heat.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems that's been facing quite a lot of, well, certainly commuters up and down the country. They introduced new rail timetables on the 20th of May, which have not gone well, to put it mildly.
Why hasn't it gone well? What's wrong with that?
There's been a breakdown in communication. I work for, I'm the head of communications these days for a rail union called Transport Salaried Staff Association. Mm-hmm. And our members are, amongst other things, they're the rail controllers. They do the rosters for staff, whether that's drivers or guards or ticket office or station passenger service staff. And what they've been reporting to us is there've been big network rail upgrades going on across, which is one of the things that they kept Lime Street closed. But when they brought the station timetables in, the staff and the rail companies, ticket operating companies, haven't given the staff enough time, they haven't given them enough notice, haven't negotiated with anybody to actually change their schedules. So in one case, one company just gave, which was maybe 25th, it's particularly one that services the South East, they had just 3 days' notice before everybody changed it, which meant, I mean, imagine trying to change your rotors or a nurse in a hospital's rotor at 3 days' notice. It's just not going to work because it doesn't work with people's childcare, their hospital care, their hospital appointment, their family lives, whether people are on holiday or not. They just brought it in willy-nilly without actually making the staff sure the staff were available. So you've had things like trains left at wrong stations, not having the drivers to fit the station, to fit the trains. You had drivers left somewhere else. Now, this has left all sorts of backups across the system and just bottlenecking. You had rail workers themselves who used trains to get to work, haven't been able to get to work. And they haven't been able to sort this problem through. They're just lurching from crisis to crisis. So what they've decided to do is they give you the schedule of cancellations. This is across the network. It's happened in Northern trains, it's happened, you know, Trans-Pennine trains, it's happened trains that go to between Liverpool and Manchester. So you have scheduled cancellations, and then the cancellations that nobody can tell you about because nobody's bothered to tell the staff that the trains just aren't turning up. So you then end up with very frustrated passengers, much like yourself, being shoved on overcrowded trains where there is no information. I'm sure lots of your listeners will have experienced they can't get information. They can't find staff to get information from because staff have been cut. Because you'll see if you use stations regularly, people want you to use the drivers to use automated ticket machines. But if you've got a crisis, that actually can't tell you. If you're just somebody who needs help, that machine can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
The train operating companies have been trying to still make money out of the system. They are now crowding passengers onto trains, but the trains are now dangerously overcrowded. So you come back to your point, you wouldn't treat an animal like this. And indeed, we have laws that ensure that animals can't be transported cruel conditions. But we're putting passengers into conditions you really wouldn't put animals into. And that was it, but we're not calling them inhumane. So our union is saying that the whole thing needs to be rethought out. It's how we run the trail system anyway. But because so many workers are now not able to get to work on time, so many workers aren't able to get home on time. They don't know where just the train service has become so unreliable. That we're actually calling on the government to deal with this as a national emergency. And in those situations, they can convene their own COBRA committee, it's called. And that's what gets convened in times of, you know, when the terrorists came.
Yeah, yeah.
So and when they hit little rail stations, well, the big rail stations in London, when they hit them, Cobra was called like within 2 days. But we've got a whole national crisis. It's the biggest crisis in peacetime history. I mean, the Luftwaffe.
Why do you say that? Isn't that a bit dramatic?
It sounds dramatic, but sometimes the truth is dramatic. So we've just got trains, people being cancelled, left stranded on stations up and down the country, trains overcrowded, trains not turning up, people not getting to work. In the southeast now, where the situation is so bad, I mean, it's really pretty dire around Manchester. And I mean, the experience you had getting in and out of Manchester, which is a huge, big economic conurbation for the northwest. And Liverpool, too, is increasingly important. And the roads are gridlocked. People need rail to get to work, and they've always needed rail to get to work. And so our economy is not functioning. This is now, it's not just that it costs the company, it costs our economy and lost revenue and lost productivity. But in the southeast now, there is, given the housing in London, as everybody knows, is so expensive. So people have moved further and further out of London to commute. Indeed, we have a lot of commuters now doing the two-hour trip from Liverpool to London and trying to work out up here for the same reason, and that we've just all become London commuters. But those commuters aren't able to get to work. It's really dire on the Govia Thameslink network. So people are being sacked because they live on that network. People are being actually not given their jobs. One of the things that comes in job interviews in the southeast is on which train network do you live on?
No, they ask that now.
Yeah, and it can be found out that you can be so suitably qualified, the best candidate for the job, and then the question is, but what train link do you come on? It can be, if you live in Brighton, it's 40 miles to London, and you've moved there because you can commute, you think, to Brighton, along that Brighton line. It's now really question mark over whether you'll get the job. So people are not saying it. People are finding out they've applied for jobs, it's been disclosed after they found for jobs that they're being sacked on trains while they're waiting in delays. I did an interview. I myself went from Chester, because Lime Street has been shut. But I was invited to do, for our union, to do an interview about the rail crisis at 9:30 on last Monday morning. I have a colleague who lives in Brighton. So I live 200 miles away, he's 40 miles away, and we needed to be at 9:30 to do the ITV interview at King's Cross. And we took the decision that though it, in theory, was more practical for him to get there for 9:30 than me, I was the one that would be able to get, I was more likely to be able to get there.
Wow.
Going down, I mean, I was actually 10 minutes late, but we judged it, that he had 4 cancellations and then a train delay. So he would never have made it, even if he'd left at 7 o'clock.
We could talk about this all night. We've got a lot of calls. We've got a caller coming up in a minute talking about the Mersey, the gateway across to Runcorn and the problems there. So we've got lots of problems with transport. What do you think the answer is? What would you like to happen? Do you want the government to take it back?
Oh, I think that in the end there's going to be really no choice. The government's already having to take rail back into public ownership.
But let me stop you there. Well, how can they, when it's owned by Germany, Holland, hardly anybody in this country owns anything?
Yeah, good point. We are, and it's exactly why we should take back control of rail. We've got train operating countries, like you're right, they're operated by Abellio, is operated by the Dutch state. Arriva, which we use up here and across North Wales, that is operated by the German state, so the state rail companies. There's Keolis, if people use the Midland line. That's part owned by Keolis, which is the French state. So you're right, our rail is publicly owned. It's just publicly owned by...
And let me stop you again. After what you've named there, I presume we, with our money, are subsidising their trains in their country because we're paying all this money to them.
So the profits we earn here on rail are being repatriated there and used to subsidise low rail fares in Europe, where British passengers pay amongst the highest. So just the thing is nuts. You know, the whole way it's organised and where we're told it's organised is nuts. We're told we've got private companies who are operating it, and the government has wanted us to have private modelling. Now, you know, that may have seemed sensible to people in the height of the 80s when they were moving, into the 90s when they were trying to push for privatisation. And that's right model. But even say, even if it was right then, even if that's what they thought was going to work out, what you can say is at the end of 25, 30 years of this experiment, it's just not functioning. So we've got the train operating companies, which are, the train carriages are owned by venture capitalists, they're owned by banks. They are leased to the train operating companies, which could be Arriva, Keolis, owned by the French state, the German state. But there's nobody having any interest then in updating. So the crowded and overcrowded, nasty, filthy toileted, unhygienic trains that we're travelling on up in the north that you're complaining about going to Manchester, there's no drive to invest to create new trains for us. So those trains you could be actually building in Britain. You can have a virtuous modelling. But they exist as a way of train companies making. They're just leased till they're leased back. So somebody else is making money out of them. In the privatising of the rail system, it was the detail of it is staggering. There is the company that owns all the rail arches that you see, and I don't know how many there are, but there's a lot, you know, the rail arches. Every time that Network Rail has to go do, Network Rail is publicly owned, but when Network Rail has to go do the engineering works on those, if they something needs doing, we have to buy back the plans from the company, a private company that owns the plans now, £400 per bridge per time. So the whole thing was made to enable people to just make milk money out of the system. But it's not that they make profits. In terms of rail economics, it's complicated. But really, we're paying huge public subsidies. So rail is now costing more in public subsidy than it ever costed per percentage of GDP, gross domestic product, than it ever costed when British Rail was running it. And that's nuts, because it's been bled out of the system to make private investors laugh all the way to the bank, effectively, and keep them, or passengers in Holland and Germany and China even, subsidised. Where British passengers are paying through the nose for overcrowded, bad rail travel.
So how are we going to finish this call? Because there's so much to talk about, but how are we going to finish it? What do you want the public to do?
If you're fed up, if the public are fed up and they think this is, you're just fed up travelling, if you can, write to your MP. You just find out that their MP's names will be, my MP is Frank Field. He would be frank.field.mp@parliament.uk. And just drop them an email saying, you know, our rail system is nuts. If people can't get to it, it's just time for Britain to do it better. It's time to just, you know, sometimes things cost. You know, things do cost. Rail is not a cheap way of doing something. But unless we have the investment that's needed into the upgrading, so we need electrification into Liverpool. We need electrification across the north. We just don't have it. That's why it's mad that it can be quicker for us to travel into London than it is for us to travel from Liverpool to Leeds, because the track upgrades haven't been put in place, the carriage upgrades haven't. The stuff you're coming in to see Lime Street tomorrow is good. That's a good start. But we need that sort of ongoing investment, because our economy, the economy in the north, needs it as much as the south needs it. But actually, the truth is our whole economy needs massive, massive investment. And in a way, it becomes not something we can afford to do. Is it something we can afford not to do? And one of our problems is the current Tory Transport Secretary, Chris Grayling, has cancelled all the electrification upgrades that were scheduled. They were part of a Tory manifesto promise, and he hasn't delivered on them, and he's not being held to account. He's refused to turn up to Parliament. People are trying to hold him to account. He just refuses to turn up and answer the questions, which is, again, why we're saying if he's refusing to deal with it, then the government have got to step up. This Parliament doesn't sit across the summer, but we've got workers unable to get to work, a system that would be easier to deal with in terms of some of the upgrades across the summer, because we have less, you know, workers are on holiday. So we could do with Cobra coming in and using, they have the power to make decisions, they have the power to say enough is enough. And so they should just come back in and look very quickly at what we can do so this crisis that's gone on, goes going on through the summer, doesn't take us through the winter. Because it won't be leaves on the line that stop trains, it will be government policy. So the government policy needs changing.
Carmel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.